WTBQ.
Good morning, everybody, or as we say, welcome to the American Dream. This is Jim Mazzetti. I'm in Miles Wealth Management, and you can find us on the web at www.mileswealthmanagement.com, or if you're like the people I love to deal business with, actually pick up the phone and speak to us at 845-651-3070. I'm joined this morning with a great guest and a unique individual in the Village of Warwick who started his business almost 25 years ago. Bill Iorato and his wife Debbie came to this lucky little village and opened up a store called Peck's Liquor. And I did a little research on this, Bill, that it's one of the oldest businesses in Warwick.
I think right now it is maybe second to Sanford, or
is that
the
right?
Phone company, Jones Chemical maybe. I don't know. It was originally started in 1957 by Walt Peck.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Right. He actually had started the store in, I think it was Salisbury Mills, and he brought, he applied for a license, which probably took him forever to get the change of address, till he moved to Warwick here in 1957.
Wow.
So, I bought it in 87, and I'm only the fourth owner, and now going on almost 60 years.
It's amazing about it. Yeah. And I read, and the other previous owners only had it for a little while before you, actually.
Yes, Myra Rowe had bought it when Walt Peck passed away in 1972, Myra Rowe bought it, and she had it till about 1980, and then John and Cecilia Umhai bought it.
Oh, and, okay. Yeah, Dr. Umhai?
No, the brother.
Oh, okay, yep.
The brother of the two doctors. And they had it till we bought it from them in 1987. And actually, we just had like our 28th anniversary back in May.
Oh, okay. That's what I was reading.
Yeah.
Well, you were kind enough to make sure everybody was well-fed and well-served.
Yes. Especially served.
Especially served. Definitely one of my favorite places to visit, to say the very least. But, you know, you started, you know, let's go back to it. You're an entrepreneur first and foremost. And this is kind of what kind of bring people to what we're talking about and why we created this show, is that America was started with entrepreneurs.
Sure did.
Right? I mean, and this is why this country is still the greatest country, bar none, in the world, even if we have a few challenges in front of us with actually the very people that said we were supposed to be, you know, the greatest country in the world,
yeah,
our government. But to say the least, we're still making it happen. People get up every day and say, hey, you know what? It's up to me to make a living for myself, for my family, and to serve the community. And you figured out how to do that very well. And you've had your challenges, though, I'm sure, like everybody else.
Well, sure. It's always a challenge, especially in the store. For those people out there who remember our first store, that when we were over at 16 South Street, and we were called Peck's Liquors at the time, was only 330 Pentagon feet. It was actually a five-sided building.
That's right.
Right.
And I remember it well.
Yeah. And the back end, the last 3 feet of the building, when you went inside, the last 3 feet actually hung out over the creek. And because there was a hole in the floor and you would see the water rushing by. So it was pretty funny, actually. And when the water got really high, I could almost reach down and touch it.
Oh, you were there for some of those occasions, weren't
you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Back in the late 80s.
Wow.
Sure. But, and then when we moved from that store, because when ShopRite came in and had bought Lloyd's out and leveled the whole corner, the Stan's Liquor Store, which was down there.
That's right. I remember that.
Right. Yeah. They basically just kicked him out. And so my business increased 40%. I had to move. I had to. I just couldn't.
You had
even
no choice.
No, 330 square feet. You're not doing anything.
Right. There's no way you can handle that kind of volume.
I couldn't handle it in the 70s. When I moved, where I am now at 1 Bank Street, I really only moved into the front room. I didn't even have the back room.
I only had the
front room, which was only like 700 square feet. So, but I mean, at the time, when you go from 330 to 700, it's like, whoa, what am I going to do with all this room? Well, it didn't take long to find out. So,
that said, though, you mean, so you you know, you had that, there's a challenge, like, I gotta make a move, and what was the thinking? Like you said, you had no choice in the matter, but you knew this was gonna be a big difference.
Well, sure, but you know, you're just not sure how big a difference.
Right.
You know, so.
Until you make that leap.
Yeah, so, but, you know, moving was a real challenge. The state was not easy. It took them 6 months to give me approval to move.
6 months.
6 months. I had to pay double rent because the new guy was saying, well, that's fine. You can have it as long as you pay me. And so.
But you couldn't physically move the location.
No, you can't.
Until that liquor license transfers, correct? Mm-hmm. I remember that well. I mean, I had the ski area, and it took me 2 years to get a liquor license there.
Oh.
It was just impossible. But our liquor license is a little bit different. Yours were serving as opposed to selling.
Well, on premise and off premise.
Yeah.
So I have the off premise, obviously. So the funny thing about the move, when it finally came through, like on a Thursday or something. And so on Saturday night, because back then we were closed on Sundays, so I had an opportunity. And actually, the state law says you're not even allowed to go into your store on a Sunday.
Even if you own it.
Even if you own it. You weren't even allowed to go in there on a Sunday. So this was one rule that I was going to break because... So what I did was, you remember Carly's... bar was right across the street.
Yes, I was the
guys. Yeah, we won't talk about that.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
And I went over there at about, I don't know, about 7 o'clock. And Freddie was, you know, was owning it. And I said to Freddie, I said, look, I need about 8 or 9 guys to help me move. So he said, well, go talk to them. So I went up and I talked to a bunch of guys and they all said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, everybody come over at 8 o'clock. And they all said, okay. So our two of the guys had trucks, and I said, we need your truck and your truck. And they said, fine. And I had my big wagon, and this other friend of mine brought his truck down. Well, I had been, you know, it was a small store to begin with.
Right.
So I didn't have a lot of stuff. But we were, me and my wife and my three daughters,
which were very young then.
Well, Corinne would have been like, they would have been like 13, 9, and 8.
Okay.
You know, so not... real young.
Not helpless. They could be
no, no. Oh, yeah,
they got put to work, I'm
right.
sure.
So we put the bottles in. They had to close up the top, and then they had to write what country they had put in. If they put in, you know, bottles from France, you had to write France on the top. And we did this to all the boxes. And then all these guys came over about 8 o'clock, 8:30, and just... boom, in 2 hours, the whole store was moved, and inside, all the wine racks and everything was done in about 2 hours. Then I went back and I gave them open bar for the rest of the night. And I told Freddie, these 9 guys get open bar on me for the rest of the night. Cheapest move I ever had.
Well, you know, I was going to bring that point up, right?
Yeah.
Is, you know, when you're an entrepreneur and a small business owner, you know, sometimes, or actually a lot of times, you know, we're not the big box stores where we can just go hire a moving company to get things done. You have to think outside the box, right?
Right, exactly. So, I remember I told Freddie, I said, I'll see you tomorrow. And he said, okay. So I stopped by there and studied. The bill was like $125.
Oh, you know? My goodness.
Well, these guys were drinking, they were just drinking beer.
Right.
So, you know, how much was a Budweiser back in 1992?
Certainly not six
Two
bucks.
$2?
Yeah.
Exactly. Buck and a half?
Right.
Probably
right.
Drafts were 75 cents, you know, so it was...
Much different time, though.
Much different time.
Much
but
different.
It was a lot of fun. Then on Sunday, we went back in, and because by the time the night was all done, 11, 12 o'clock, I was like, I'm going home.
Right. It's time.
So we went down the next morning, and illegally, of course, and we put all the... we used to have as we still have, we have apple crates on our shelving.
Which I think is one of the nice appealing things of that shop.
Right.
So we had to put
all the wooden apple crates back together, and we screwed them all together, and we kind of, because we already had a design of what we wanted to do with it, so we knew where everything was going. And I had gone back up to Masker Orchards earlier in the week or the week before, and went up and saw George Ball, and I said, George, I need more apple crates. So he found me he got me like 50 more of them. And again, he charged me like $3 a box.
So you could fit out your entire liquor store.
So I fit out the whole store and wooden apple crates. So on Sunday, you know, we just put it all together and then we started, you know, putting the bottles back in and stuff. And by around 9 o'clock that night, we were basically ready to go.
Wow.
You know,
what a beginning.
Yeah. And I had also had some friends had come in and done all new shelving on the outside, all wooden shelving because the building, you know, the building is now, One Bank Street is now, it's 148 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
The building, yeah. So whatever it was, 20-some-odd years ago, it was 125 to 130 years old.
Right. That building's had some many lives, actually, hasn't it?
Well, actually, it was built by the railroad.
Okay.
In that parking lot, there used to be four buildings going back, way back, all the way back to the 1860s, 1870s. And the village bought the property from the railroad in 1971. That's where they made the parking lot. They took down the other three buildings, but the railroad kept my building.
Wow.
You know, they kept my building, and which is also why the building is 4 feet off the ground, because there used to be railroad tracks that came up alongside the building.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And anybody who's been in there, I have that little... On the outside of the building facing the parking lot, there's that little piece that juts out.
Yep.
Well, that's where the boxcars would pull up, and they would
unload
everything right into the building. And that's why the building is up off the ground. So after the village bought it, made the parking lot, the railroad kept that building. Back in 71. I mean, the railroad had the building to the mid-50s. And Dayton's, where G's Restaurant used to be, a Dayton's Five and Dime.
I remember it well.
Right. So Mr. Dayton had bought that building in around 1955 or something like that. And he had it till around 1978 when Jim Murray bought it. And then I bought it off of Jim Murray. So theoretically, the building's only had four owners in 48 years or
That's
something.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. You know, our office building in Florida, too, we're like the third owner.
Oh, right.
The bank.
Well, the bank had it for... what year is that building?
1800s.
Oh, it is here.
Yeah, 1800s.
Okay.
And then the diamond dealer had it because the bank would not sell it to another financial institution. And then we bought it from the diamond dealer. Well, this is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. We'll be right back with Bill Iorato from Peck's Liquor.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Listen for Almanac and your host Paul Tesoro. Almanac is proudly brought to you by Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corporation. That's Almanac, Monday through Saturday mornings during the 9 o'clock hour. WTBQ.
Hi, this is Taylor. Have your second cup of coffee with me every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. Learn the latest in news, gossip, health, entertainment, and of course, all about animals. WTBQ, radio worth listening to. WTBQ.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. I'm back here with Bill Iorato from Peck's Liquor and kind of bring everybody up to speed here. This is The American Dream. It's about entrepreneurs, the reason America exists today, because somebody had an idea and decided to make it happen, and that's called capitalism.
Sure is.
Right? And that's how our lovely government gets its dollars to operate. And we won't go into that story, but maybe we will a little bit later, Bill, since you actually had your hand in politics for a little while. But we were just going and talking about how you got your start here and kind of the history of the building and the business and kind of, you know, it was funny, you pointed out in the very beginning, you know, when you're making that move, it just shows, you know, and I see this commonly, it's a common theme among all entrepreneurs, you worked with the resources you had at hand.
Oh, yeah, and there wasn't much of it.
Right, right. I mean, you had to get it done. It wasn't a huge budget here to make this happen. And every day that you weren't open or couldn't open, obviously you had two businesses run at the same time, but you were draining the bank, keeping these both of these shops going at the same time.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, especially back then. I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot of money, $700 a month for an empty space that I could do nothing with.
Right.
And I had to pay for any electric and... And luckily, it wasn't the wintertime, you know.
Oh, thank goodness, right.
You know, because I had to change the O&R bill over to my name and stuff. So I had to pay for that on top of it. So between the two, the rent and utilities there and the rent and utilities here, it was a drain back then, you know. We'd only been there a few years and, you know, I have three young kids at the time.
Right, just three mouthfuls to feed there. And wasn't that, was your wife working at the time outside the business? Or
No. So she actually... At that time, I had bought, if you remember, I had bought the Maskers Taxi Company.
Oh, my God, that's right.
I bought that in 1990. And so I bought it because at the time I was in this little building, and it's very hard to make a lot of money when you only have a 330-square-foot building.
Correct.
So we bought the taxi company. I used to be in the taxi and limousine business about 10 years earlier. You know, I had driven a taxi out of high school. But then I went to work for the Ridgewood Taxi down in Ridgewood, New Jersey, where I was from. I ran the company for several years. And so then when I left there, when we bought the store and stuff, so when this taxi company came up, Don Masker used to come to me all the time, come on, buy it, because I want to get out. So we did. And so we were running two businesses at one time, you know.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. We used to, yeah, you do. It's another feeling. We used to have a little saying. We would get them drunk and drive them home. You know, so.
Were you the original? You know, give us a call first. What do you call it? I think Dana Distributors does that, right? But you were always kind of an entrepreneur, were you not? Or how did?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I never
you kind of fell into it.
Yeah, we bought the business PEX because of. I did lose my job at one point in 86 with the taxi and limousine company. Me and the owners, we just didn't see eye to eye anymore. And I just said, you know what, this is time. I'm leaving.
Right.
You know.
I'm young enough. I can make this decision.
Yeah. And I've always been the kind of person, I don't worry about money. You know, especially back then, coming out of the 60s and 70s, being a product of the 60s and 70s. Money, I mean, I always had the money I needed to pay all my bills. I have never not paid anybody.
Right.
You know, even today, I just spent a lot of money redoing my building. For anybody who's gone by my building in the past couple of weeks, I put a whole new front on it. I totally restained, repainted, and did the whole building. Yeah.
So you talk about reinvesting even at this stage,
yeah,
right?
Well, you know, building, you've got to spend money on your building. You own a building, you got to keep it up,
right,
if you want to make it look good. You know, I get very mad at people when I drive around, even though most of the buildings in the village now are pretty much kept up.
Yeah, there's a big difference today.
Yeah, big difference today. You know, it was just very difficult to just get through all this.
Sure.
You know, and just get back on the road. And, you know, finally after 92, after we had moved and got going again, my funds were very depleted.
Yep.
You know, and we ran into a little trouble back, you know, the government always wants their tax dollars. So, yeah, we ran a little bit of trouble for a short while, but, you know, we worked our way out of it and stuff. And,
now that's life, right?
That's kind of part of life.
It is life.
And I talk to young people now who are starting businesses and, you know, and they complain to me. And I said, it'll get better. Just be diligent. And I said, I tried to tell this one person that just recently was talking to me about it. And I said to him, number one thing you don't do is don't start taking cash.
Ever.
Ever.
No.
I said, look, I have a plan where I write a paycheck for me and my wife every week. Can I cash it every week? No.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, nowadays, yeah, maybe over the last couple of years, things are better. But certainly way back then, I would still write these checks. And I would have three, four checks of each of us backed up.
Sure.
Until finally, you know, I started having to pay the mortgage or something. You know, then
gotta cash them.
You know, but I would back them up and, you know, and And it takes a long time. So I tell people is that if you're going to start a business, just number one thing, write yourself a check. If you can't cash it, fine, but write it.
It's a great point.
You know,
I think those are some things we're trying to make sure we get out to this message as part of this program is for those entrepreneurs that are either in business or thinking about getting into business, that is huge advice. You have to run your business like a business from day one.
Right.
And I think it's a critical lesson.
Right. And I didn't. I'll admit that. That, you know, the first few years, I didn't really do that.
You didn't know.
I didn't know.
Right. You didn't know what you didn't know.
Right.
Correct? And I think that's kind of the message we're trying to get out there now is, listen, there are people who have done this.
Yeah.
Have gone through it. And this advice is, you know, take it. Take it because it's coming from a good source.
I hope.
Oh, without question. But you kind of pushed through those days. So you're running two companies at once. And then, and I remember the taxi company now. Holy cow, you know, I've been around work myself a long time.
Yeah.
And then you obviously got the liquor company, the Pex Liquor, to a point that this wasn't necessary anymore. It was time to at least jettison one of them.
Well, once we had moved, because I had bought the taxi in 1990, then we moved. We moved a week before Thanksgiving in 1992.
And wow.
Talk about a... a fiasco for the holidays.
You
oh
nut.
My God!
You are nuts.
Yeah, it was nuts. At least once you get into the new year, everything's really quiet down and stuff. But boy,
you're right in the peak of your season.
The last 6 weeks of that year were, God, you know, it was just crazy. So, but we got through it, and eventually we bought the building. You know, in 1999, and that's when we changed the name. We changed the name to Pex Wine and Spirits, a little bit more up to date.
Sure.
We did look at thinking, and we actually talked to people, other old timers in town and stuff about should we keep the Pex name? And we talked to friends and, you know, some people said, well, I don't know, you're going to change it. Maybe you should change Pex. And then we decided, no, nope, no way. Pex is still in town because Rod Peck had... had the real estate office.
Sure.
You know, so it was, the name was still around. A lot of people still knew the name. So we just said, you know, we just kind of said, no, you know, I mean, we just kind of threw it about. We didn't really think we were going to, but
it was staying on that, you know, Pex is a brand.
Sort of. Right. Yeah.
Well, it's known, I think it's more known for you and your wife these days, but, you know, cause you've come through those cycles, but the Pex name has been here for 50-something years, right?
Even longer.
Even longer.
I mean,
right.
I think Rod Peck grew up here.
Sure did.
I mean, I think they're from, I mean, back in, you know, 70, 80 years or more. I mean, actually, Rod Peck grew up in what is now the Iron Forge Inn. That was their house.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, he used to be our neighbor on Pinecrest. I remember that. He always had the coolest cars, too. He was a good guy. A huge, tall man, to say the very least.
Oh, yeah.
But you had a branded business. You have a branded business, but you know to that point when I took over the ski area, which was originally Sterling Forest. You want to talk about a brand, right? When I had to change that legally, we had to change the name from Sterling Forest.
Oh, you couldn't keep the name.
We couldn't keep it. Although Lou Heinbeck said I can keep it now. But since it's gone, I don't need it anymore. But thanks, Lou. Great guy, actually. He helped.
He is.
He was a great advisor through that process, too, by the way, which is a whole other story. But when we changed that name, I'll tell you, to this day, people that come to that ski area know it as Sterling Forest.
Of course.
Yeah, because it's those long-time branding things that are very difficult sometimes to churn that away.
I don't call it Citi Field. I still call it Shea Stadium.
There you go, right? Those things stick with you. But it's what you've done with it, which is, yeah. I think, is more amazing to me, watching it over the years, how it's developed, you know, from the 300 square feet it went through to where it is today, where you end up buying the entire building as opposed to just moving to that front room.
Right. Well, I'm approximately 1,400 square feet now.
Wow.
Which is still small compared to many other wine shops in the state, that's for sure. But you know what? It's easy to handle. You know, I mean, I've been, you know, I know some other owners, obviously, and I've been to their stop in and see their stores. And, you know, there's one guy, you know, they have a 10,000 square foot store.
Oh,
it's insane.
That's enormous.
You know, I mean, they obviously they're in a good area and they,
sure.
you know, they do good business. But, he says, it's insane.
Yeah.
It really is insane. Because first of all, the number of employees he has to have.
Well, that's a whole other story, you know, right? We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, the number, and which really, I mean, it's not a, you know, it's certainly not 500 people, but for him, I mean, he has, you know, and of course, with the new, some of the new laws and stuff, he only pays them, you know, he hires them for 20 hours.
Sure.
You know, or 19 and a half hours, some guys, and he was just saying, but still, he has to have full-time people in the office.
You HR, know, absolutely.
Yeah, and marketing and advertising, and he says it's crazy. 10,000 square foot store. He has a forklift in the back room.
Well, you know that's what comes with it. Sometimes bigger is not better.
No.
And I can tell you, I work with a lot of businesses, and I think you can appreciate this, is that gross is not net.
Right.
Right. There's a big difference between the two, right. Dramatically in most cases, and it's the net. Folks that we live on, not the gross.
Right.
And it's the net that the banks will bank on, not the gross. So these are kind of little important stories here. We're going to listen. This is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream. I'm in Miles Wealth Management. And I always have to plug this, Bill, because I get yelled at every week because I don't talk about our company. But, you know, it's not really about our company. It's about the entrepreneurs of America that, quite frankly, inspire me every day. And I'm lucky enough to work with them every day to keep our business thriving and help them get to where they want to go. So this is Jim Mazzetti. We'll be right back. I'm with Bill Iorato from Pex Liquor.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Dr. David Leach, the superintendent of the Warwick Valley Central School District and host of Your Schools. Listen every Monday at 12 noon to learn what's happening in your schools right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hey everybody, this is Rachel Ray. Join me today and every weekday with Rach on the Radio. I'll have tips to save you money, celebrity chit-chat, and of course, food. All from the kitchen table of our Emmy Award-winning show, Rachel Ray.
Weekdays at 12:30.
WTBQ Weather.
Another hot day in store across the area. We might see a thunderstorm later on in a couple of areas. Highs near 90 again. Tonight, early shower thunderstorms, then mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s as it turns much cooler. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, and pleasant with a high in the low 80s. Clear tomorrow night, 50 to 55, and Thursday mostly sunny with a high around 80. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
WTBQ.
Welcome back, folks. This is Jim Mazzetti with Miles Wealth Management. This is the American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 with hopefully, actually, with amazing guests every week. And next week, actually, you have the original entrepreneurs, original entrepreneur, which are farmers.
Oh, sure.
Right? If you think about somebody, you know, a business that to talk about risk.
Big risk.
Huge risk. And I have Ed Sobiak joining me next week from the Green Giant. His family's been here for quite a long time as well. But Bill, getting back to you, you know, you've been involved in this town as well for many, many years. And
village.
The village, yeah. Oh, yeah, let's make the very clear. And because there's a big, distinct difference between the town and the village, and you were very much a big part of the village. But did you get involved in the village? I think you got involved in village design and helping Merchants Guild, and you helped kind of spearhead a lot of that stuff. And I think it was not only obviously to help Peck's Wine and Liquor, but it was, you know, rising tides raise all ships, correct?
Well, you know, it wasn't really, I mean, it really wasn't being done to help me. It was being done to help the village. If you have a strong, vital, the village, like the way the Village of Warwick is right now.
And how it's developed, sure.
And how it's developed. I mean, we have no empty storefronts. And you can't go to many places in America where you don't have at least one. And if we do have an empty storefront, you know, just recently we had a couple. And, I mean, they're full before... They're full before the other one even closes, practically.
Wow.
I mean, we have, what, two new businesses just on Railroad Avenue.
Right.
You know, between the Warwick Valley Olive Oil Company and Frio. I mean, both of those places were, you know, boom, done, in. And even up on in the old dispatch building, there used to be a little arts and crafts store in there. I mean, before Valerie even closed up, there was another store coming in. It's a little hot dog stand
right
there. Yeah. So, and up on Main Street when, what do you call it? The real estate, Remax.
Remax.
Right.
Yep.
Before they were even, which is the old town hall. I mean, before they were done, we had the candied apple store coming in. And it's amazing.
That's a testament to, yeah. Honestly, though, to the way this village has worked together and the merchants have worked together.
Right.
Would you agree? I mean, it's not just out for yourself. It's, you know, you understand that a vital business brings business.
Well, you know, being, and I also, obviously, I was on the village board for 12 years.
That's right.
On top of that. So, you know, it was very vital that the government has to work with the chamber, which works with the merchant guilds, which works with other people too. I mean, you know, the Warwick Gardeners, we won the Warwick and Bloom competition,
right,
whenever that was, 3, 4, 5 years ago, you know, which was very important, you know? I mean,
it brings attention to the village.
And it brings worldwide attention
right
to the village. I mean, we were voted not even that long ago. Was it last fall or?
It was last fall.
Yeah, when we were voted one of the top 10 places to visit in the Northeast.
And that's vital.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's obvious now by the amount of traffic that you see on a weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't point out to people, too, that, you know, traffic, you know, if you live in the village around the town, you can hear people complain about it. But I think you should think twice about complaining about it, because you have traffic as you have a vital business community which supplies all the needs for this town, this great town, by the way. And it helps support all the businessmen that, quite frankly, make it happen here every day.
Yeah. The biggest traffic season is coming up here for us, the apple season.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, and over the years, I've heard many people come in and complain about the traffic with the apple pickers and blah, 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 blah. And I started saying to people after I kind of figured it all out myself, that I go, there is between 18 and 20 days in the fall when it's bad. It's every Saturday and Sunday from Labor Day weekend or the weekend after Labor Day until, I don't know, middle of October, late October.
Right.
There's only maybe about 20 days, we'll say. That's the traffic is really bad. I go, it's about, you know, 8 or 9 weekends and 1 or 2 holidays. And I go, if you didn't have those people coming here picking those apples, all those orchards would be gone, and you'd have 1,000 more houses.
Oh, sure.
So if you think would you rather put up with 20 days of traffic or 365 days of traffic? I mean, do you remember, I don't know, I was on the board when Masker's Orchard came to the village and wanted to annex in 250 acres, the whole Masker's Orchard. They wanted to annex all the property into the village and build 250 houses on Ball Road.
Oh, I don't remember that. No.
Yeah. And they wanted to hook up the water and sewer,
sure,
and all that sort of stuff. And we all looked at each other and went, I don't think so.
Well,
I mean, we had to hear him out, of course.
Sure.
But, you know, it was like...
But it would have changed the face of Warwick, wouldn't it?
Well, Masker's is the largest orchard in Warwick. I think they have 2,100 trees. And they almost have more than the other 5 or 6 together.
Close. Is that right?
Well, Pennings has been planting tons of trees.
Sure has.
You know, so I don't know exactly what the ratio is anymore. I just remember back then, you know, it had to be at least 10 years ago, if not 10, 12 years ago. So, you know, it was like, I mean, talk about changing the face. I mean, look at Ball Road now. You can't get out of Ball Road now. I don't know what they would have had. They would have had to put a light there.
Oh, sure they would.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, 250 homes, you figure 500 cars, if not more.
Imagine that commuting traffic in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Now you just have to deal with it on weekends.
Yeah.
And but, you know, look at that, though. But look at how vital that business is to the community.
Yeah.
Right? It brings true traffic, outside traffic, and people that are willing to spend their dollars here in Warwick and keep the economy vital.
And even the amount of people they employ between all the... throughout the whole fall. I mean, all three of my daughters worked at Applewood Orchards. You know, it's funny. We lived around the corner. They could have walked the Maskers, but for whatever reason, we ended up at Applewood. I had to drive through all that traffic to get them there. Yeah.
Thanks, like, you just walk in their backyard. Yeah. Well, that's kids, right? There's a whole other subject all by itself. And I worked at Ox's Orchard for many years.
Dave Hull used to come into our store, so... When he was coming in, when Corinne was 12, so that would be around 1990, you know, he said, you know, I need somebody to work. Why don't you come work at the, you know, I mean, so, yeah, I had my kids working at the store, you know, kind of slave labor back in the day, but, you know.
Absolutely.
But it was a true family-run business.
Well, my daughters worked for me every weekend. They were with me, trust me. But they, you know, they was cracking me up and like, listen, you want to go skiing? No, we don't want to ski. We don't even see skis. They couldn't wait to be done with it. But they learned vital lessons from that.
Yes.
You know, as I'm talking to Bill, and this is typical Bill Iorato, by the way. We're here talking, I'm supposed to be talking about Peck's Wine and Liquor, and we're talking about everything else in the Village of Warwick that's kind of who you are. And I've known that about you for many years. But to that point, you know, some of the segment generally we talk about in our show here is marketing. But the best marketing that I'm kind of hearing you talking about is for your business, which is different than, because it's a retail business in the Village, that this kind of marketing is the marketing of Warwick, New York, is kind of where it helps you the most. Am I getting that?
Well, I mean, you know,
got to kind of siphon off of that and figure out how to direct it to you. But
yeah.
Getting the attention and people that are coming through.
Yeah. I mean, I talk to people all the time. And the one thing about my business, it has just about every walk of life comes through. You know,
true.
It would come through. And
I think people can imagine what you're talking about there. Yeah. Right.
I mean, everybody comes through. So, and, you know, and I don't really market my business per se, but I like to do things for the community. I've been working with the Historical Society for the whole 28 years I've owned Peck's.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah. You know, I mean, we do the wine and cheese party, which they actually, which actually had started about, I don't know, a couple of years before we bought the store. So ever since we bought the store, we are right in it. We are right into the wine and cheese party that they do every year.
And
we've continued it. And, you know, we just kind of work. People have changed. Chairmans have changed. But me and Debbie, we just kind of go with it. You know, I don't worry about it because, I mean, the Historical Society is a really important part of the town of Warwick.
Yeah.
You know, even though all their buildings are in the Village, it is a town-wide Historical Society. And, you know, I mean, they need money. It's hard. It's very expensive. They have 7 buildings. I'm sure everybody is well aware of the old school Baptist church downtown, which is probably the most prominent building in the Village.
It's also the most photographed as well.
It's the most photographed and stuff. So, but, you know, and like with the concerts, I do all the concerts for the Village.
Which are a huge attraction.
Huge.
And how long ago did you start that?
I think it was 2004 was the first year.
Really?
Right. Well, the first, actually,
time's
going
by, my friend.
Yeah. I came on the board in 2000, and in 2002 is when, what was his name, Tunnel, who owned the railroad,
yep.
offered to sell us the old park, what is now the Railroad Green. And so we got funds, we got a big donation from the Warwick Savings Bank at the time, and Senator Moynihan got us a big donation.
He was fantastic, by the way.
And then we went at, yes, and then we reached out to the public and raised, I don't know, it was like another $50,000 or something. So we bought it. So then we went out and we had it redesigned. And I can't remember his name now. He was world famous.
I can't remember.
Oh, jeez. Maybe I will before we leave.
Right.
And after all of that, you know, we finally got all the designs done. And then I was in charge of the overseeing of the park. Now, I didn't pick designs or colors or flowers or anything. I just had to watch. I had to oversee the whole design of the park. And being right there,
you're right there on the corner.
I used to walk over every day and just stand there. And I would talk with Dominic, who had won the bid to redo it and stuff, and just kind of made sure everything was okay and just ran. And so, you know, I kind of felt by the time it was all done, it was like my park.
Well, you still treat it that way, I say.
I do. I say.
So, but it's a great accomplishment. And this is part of the entrepreneur spirit of it, is that, you're helping everything around you grow.
Right.
Which helps you grow. You know, it's not rocket science.
Well, it helps make the village grow, which helps all the businesses in general grow, you know. And I guess the following year, which I think it was done in the spring of 2003 or something like that. It was either 2003 or 2004 when Leo Cades called me up and said, look, I want to have Dick Wells' band play on the green. He goes, we need to raise some money. So between Leo, myself, I think Silvio Petrucci at the time. Frank Petrucci.
Frank Petrucci, yes.
And maybe Michael from the Landmark. And a bunch of us all chipped in money. And we got Dick Wells' band to play on the green.
Which was
which was the first show ever.
Is that right?
On the green, yes. And that was either the summer. It was either 2003 or 2004.
So it's a ways back.
Right. So then the following year, now the village had been doing a little concert series of three or four shows.
Right.
But they were doing them in Stanley Deming Park.
Which isn't the village. Which it is the village, but it's just on the outskirts.
Right.
Well, listen, we got to hold that thought for a second. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. I'm with Bill Iorato, and we're talking about the Village of Warwick and PEX One and Spirits. We'll be right back.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is David Dirks, the host of the Dirks Outdoor Show. Call in as we discuss everything for the outdoor sportsman every Saturday at 7 a.m. right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hi, this is Mary Ulrich with Cornell Cooperative Extension in Orange County, inviting you to join me and your Orange County farmers on Farm Talk every Wednesday at 12 noon, where you will learn everything agriculture on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to. WTBQ.
This is Jim Mazzetti of the American Dream. Welcome back. My guest today is Bill Iorato from PEX Wine and Spirits. I got that right for the third time today. And we were talking about the branding side of it, and you know how you call the stadium Shea Stadium or whatever, Mitchie Stadium. To me, it's always been PEX as well. But for as long as I remember, you've been there with your wife. And you also have had your three daughters work there on occasion, and it's kind of made it a family business. When it's necessary, when you got to bring him in, we call it about slave labor.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, we really needed them, especially during the holidays. You know, I mean, back in like 88, 89, my youngest daughter was, 5, 6 years old. But you know what? She knew how to count change. She knew how to do money. She knew how to run the register. You know, all of them did, and they all count change well. They know how to count change. They don't need a calculator.
Which is a, yeah, it's kind of lost art today.
Yeah, very lost. You know, I mean, I see it when I go into stores and somebody has to stand there and think about giving me change.
You know, we live and die with technology in my business. And I'll just give you an example. We put a brand new phone system in, and we had to. I'm not going to throw out any punches here, but we put this voice over IP system in, and it's still not right. It's driving me crazy. I mean, these are the technology challenges we deal with, and I'm sure you've had to deal with these challenges yourself when you have to switch over point of sale systems and inventory systems and everything.
No, we're not computerized.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I have one of my favorite restaurants, and I won't say his name because I don't want to get him in trouble, but is in Montgomery, and he still uses the old-fashioned cash register.
Right.
And I looked at it, and I said, how can he possibly do that? I go, I know exactly why he's doing that. Because those are the technology. We can't, unfortunately, use, you know, old cash registers for our business because we're linked into the stock market and everything else is going around the world 24-7. Our phones are attached to us 24-7. But, you know, we do business on kind of a different level than you do. But you still deal very much on a one-to-one basis.
Well, the one thing about small business in a village of Warwick or in any village or town in the world really is service. When people walk in the door, I mean, and when somebody comes in, even if I'm working on a customer, I will say hi.
You recognize them.
Recognize them. That's it. I mean, if I happen to know their name, great. You know, I probably know 50% of my customers' names. You know, I mean, we get a lot of new people. A lot of new people are moving into Warwick, and obviously old people are moving out, or other people are moving out.
Right. We want to say old people.
Other people are moving out, you know, for whatever reason. But, you know, it's service. Service, service, service. If you do got to provide service, when somebody says to me, I'm looking for this wine, I say, okay. I mean, if I'm not doing anything, of course, I'll take care of them right away. I'll say, hang on. I said, the red, you know, if they say I'm looking for a red wine, so we'll look at all the red wines are there. I'll be with you in a minute. Okay. I'll take care of doing what I'm doing, and then I go over and help them, you know. And you can't carry everything, you know.
No.
I mean, you know, people come in to me and ask me for the, you know, the rhubarb vodka, you know, and I look at them going, no, I don't carry that, you know. And I said, I'll get you a bottle, though. If you want one, I'll get you, you know.
Right.
Rhubarb is a little stretch, but.
Well, you used to handle, I remember at one point you were brought in the chocolate vodka for a while.
I carry one. Okay. I carry one chocolate vodka because chocolate martinis got very popular at one time. Now it's kind of, you know, died off. I really don't, I don't even know if I have one anymore at the moment. But, you know, I mean, if you can think of a fruit, if you can think of a vegetable practically, because there's cucumber, vodka, and
you name it.
There's basil. There's actually a salmon flavored vodka.
Yum.
Yeah. And there's a bacon flavored vodka.
Really?
Yeah.
You couldn't possibly have all that room on your shelves to handle it.
No, I tell people there's Smirnoff vodka makes 43 different vodkas. They have an 80 proof, a 90 proof, 100 proof, and 40 different flavors.
My goodness.
Yes. They have a confectionery line. They have a caramel line or sorbet line. Oh, it's like, really? I'm like, really? You know? So
somebody wanted it bad enough that they created it.
Yeah. Well, I've also seen flavors are finally, you know, some of the flavors are just going away. Yeah. Well,
and you know, you bring that up as a business owner, you at one point had to recognize the need for it and then make the decision to go ahead and put some of that on your shelves and expend the dollars to do so, hoping for a return.
Yeah.
And then you also had to quickly realize that, listen, this is not, wasn't worth the return on the investment and make the decision not to carry it so much anymore.
Well, it really came down to more. It was a real big, huge fad. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I can understand a lemon flavor vodka.
Still my favorite.
You know, but people have been squeezing lemons in the vodka for decades. So now they just have to make. But you know what? There's a different taste when you squeeze a real lemon as compared to getting whatever, you know, Smirnoff lemon.
Right. Or, Grey Goose Citron.
You know, Grey Goose Citron and stuff, whatever. I mean, you squeeze a real lemon, it's a different taste.
Right.
You know.
Besides, you need the vitamins.
Yeah.
You gotta get those real vitamins in there. It's the best way to do it, my opinion.
I don't like flavored vodkas. I never drink them.
Really?
You know. I mean, I've tasted some of them.
You're old school. Well, I tell you, my Uncle Jack introduced me to vodkas with the blessing of vermouth. My Uncle Jack Cox, you remember Jack Cox?
Oh, yeah.
And when he was passing away, it was one of our favorite things to do was to meet with him and just to have a vodka martini with the blessing of vermouth and just cheer his spirits up.
Well, Bill, him and Barbara were wonderful people.
They were. Yeah. I miss them every day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've gotten to know so many people in this village, and not just because you sell liquor, because your involvement in the village in general, the Historical Society. Obviously, you sat on the village board for about 12, you said 12 years.
I ran the Merchant Guild for about 5 years before I was on the board.
Right.
You know, I was on the chamber board on and off. I've been with Historical Society for 28 years. I used to be in the Lions Club, but I just couldn't do it all.
Right.
I had a radio show for 5 years playing the blues.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Who knew? Well, you know that point about, we talk about this with entrepreneurs, what you're showing clearly, and it's kind of the message getting out of this point, is that it's the activity that begets business.
Right.
It's getting your name out there and being visual. And also making sure that everybody knows where you are, what you do, and not be embarrassed to say it. You do it in a very quiet way. You've always been that way about it. But you have always had this great presence about you and your family. To listen, you know, you make sure that people are taken care of.
I don't mention my name. I name the name of my business very often. At the beginning of the concert season back in June, I named all the sponsors and I didn't name Pex,
yourself,
you know, because I don't know. I just felt funny doing that. I named the other. We had 48 sponsors, me being one of them.
Right.
But I only mentioned 47 of them. And I don't know. I just felt funny naming my own place, you know. So after I got done and the band started playing, I walked off and this guy walks up to me. He goes, you know, you missed one. And I said, yeah, I know. And he goes, oh, you missed this Pex here. I go, yeah. I go, that's my business. I said, I just didn't think I should do it. Obviously, he didn't know.
Right.
You know, but he sat there and read every single one of them.
Oh, he wanted to make sure everybody was accounted for.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty funny, actually. But, you know, I said, no, I realize that. I said, it's my business, and I just don't push it like that, you know.
Yeah, well, it's who you are. And it's one of the greatest things, I mean, anybody who knows you knows that's what you're about and how you are and what you've done for this community is, I think it speaks for itself, quite frankly. We only have a few minutes left, and I just wanted to make sure I touched on a few things. And you've been in business for quite a while, and if there's any advice that you could give entrepreneurs out there, you know, a couple of things, what would it be?
Well, the one we said earlier is, you know, if you have a cash business, yeah, it's all right to take a couple of bucks, go get a cup of coffee, but don't start sticking $100 in your pocket every day.
Right.
You know, because
it hurts the books.
It hurts the books. And then whatever business, you know, well, like say with the taxi business, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you need a new transmission.
Yeah.
You know, and you needed whatever, $800, $1,000, whatever it may cost for a new transmission, you know, and if you think that $300 or $400 you took each week for the last 4 or 5 weeks would have paid for that transmission.
That's right.
You know,
you got to feed the machine.
You got to, yeah. It's hard to go into your own business it's hard to go into your own business if you don't have some money to start out with.
You have to be capitalized.
You got to be capitalized for at least, I don't know, 4 to 6 months to really, you know, a minimum of 4 to 6 months.
I think you're dead on. And we've talked about this previous on the show is that, you know, a couple of things that I've run into is underestimating the capital needed to get to the business being profitable and the time, the amount of effort involved.
Well,
do you agree?
I mean, I've told people too, is that it takes 2 to 3 years to break even.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if I ever really
paid
myself.
Business.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever really paid myself back from the first couple of all the money I put in when I first bought the store back in 87.
No. Sometimes I think we just put that off and go, I don't want to know about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're making a paycheck now. Good. We'll just leave it at that and call it a very expensive college lesson. Well, listen, we have only a few minutes left. And Bill, I just want to thank you and your wife and your family for what you've done, what you do for this community. And especially for the liquors you bring in, make us all happy. But you know, on a serious
spirits.
Note, yeah, spirits, that's right. On a serious note, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you. It's been wonderful. I have sat at this desk many times. Dick Wells and I have spoken many, many times. Unfortunately, obviously, Dick is no longer with us. But I used to spend, you know, I used to come in here every Christmas and do the night before Christmas with him.
Is that right?
Yeah, I did it for
he was a big part of the station,
last
for sure.
5 to 10 years at least we've been doing that. And then I used to come in the Saturday before the baseball season. We'd do Casey at the Bat. Maybe you and I'll come in and do it.
Maybe, yeah. Well, you're much more in tune with the baseball world than I am. But listen, on that note, this is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream. My guest today has been Bill Alorato for PEX Wine and Spirits. And we look forward to seeing you next Tuesday from 10 to 11, where our guest is going to be Ed Sobiak from Green Giant. God bless and be profitable.